ప్రేమస్వరూపులారు,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet. Yes, Prashanthi is, Prashanthi was, and Prashanthi will be the most happening place on the planet. Even as the planet goes through so much, it is the search for Prashanthi that will give peace. It is the recreation of Prashanti wherever we are that will give us solace, that will give us strength, that will give us courage to go through the vicissitudes of life. And Prashanti continues to inspire us. Prashanti continues to be that storehouse of peace, that storehouse of Ananda. Prashanti continues to be that magnet which will always pull us towards that Godward path, towards that path where we will experience not just Santosha but Ananda. And in this series, Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram, in outside, inside, deep inside, it has been our endeavor to contemplate on the glory of Prashanthi Nilayam. We started this series many weeks ago, and in the initial episodes of Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram, I narrated to you the story of Prashanthi Nilayam, how the ashram was built, how Bhagwan himself, brick by brick, built this abode of peace, this spiritual sanctuary for each one of us. And the gift that Bhagwan gave on the inauguration day of Prashanthi Nilayam to each one who was present was the locket, was the pendant with the message that materialized mysteriously as Bhagwan threw these flower petals. They transformed into coins, into pendants with the message, "Why fear when I am here?" And I think this is the most powerful message that Bhagwan gave right on the day he gifted Prashanthi Nilayam to the whole world. So in this series we have been contemplating on the ashram, the genesis, and after that the growth of the ashram, the years of Bhagwan's life after 1950. November 23rd, 1950 is when Prashanthi Nilayam came into being. And in the last 2-3 episodes, I shared with you the routine of Prashanthi Nilayam that Bhagwan established. The Omkaram, the Suprabhatam, the Nagar Sankirtanam, and the bhajans, how Bhagwan himself composed bhajans, he himself sang bhajans, he himself used to give prasadam at the end of the bhajans. And we went on to those beautiful songs of Bhagwan, the Tyagaraja Kirtanas. And in the last episode, I told you the story of Bangalore Nagaratnamal, July 16, 2020. Thursday Live was on the story of how Saint Tyagaraja himself guided his devotee Bangalore Nagaratnamal to come to Prashanti Nilayam. How he told her to go and see Swami in Venkatagiri, that was a very telling episode of beautiful leelas that were unfolding in those initial years of Bhagwan's avatarhood. Today let me take you through the life journey of another devotee. Her name was Kunnamma. Very old lady. She used to sell peanuts outside the Prashanti Nilayam compound. Very, very poor. She had no one. She had a son, but the son was no longer taking care of her. She had to live on her own. And she made her living by selling peanuts. This area, Puttaparthi, is known for peanuts. All the farmers in this area grow peanuts. And of course, the groundnut chutney, the peanut chutney is one of the most popular dishes prepared in the hostel of the students in Prashanti Nilayam. In fact, Bhagwan also used to partake peanut chutney. This is what I have heard with few people who were serving Bhagwan. So Prashanti is and has been a place where the weather was comfortable for the cultivation of peanuts. Peanuts don't need too much water, and Prashanti Nilayam is in the area of Rayalaseema. Puttaparthi is in the Rayalaseema area of Anandapur, which is known to be very arid, and the ground not supposed to be having a lot of water. So this lady was selling peanuts. Even now, actually, you would find many hawkers, many peddlers selling peanuts. Whenever there is the vegetable market in the Puttaparthi village. So this is what Kunnamma also was doing. And she would regularly come for Bhagwan's darshan. And even when she came for darshan, she would not sit with all the people. They were very few people for darshan. We are talking about 1950s, 51, 52, 53. So, even if there are very few people, she would always sit little aside, a little bit away from everyone, because she always felt that she is not really dressed very well. The people who came for darshan, many of them came from cities and they were well dressed. And they came from well-to-do families, from Bangalore, from Chennai. And she always felt very diffident. And she would not go and sit with all these people. She would go and sit a little far away. And the most interesting thing, Bhagwan would go and personally interact with her. Even though she would sit away, Bhagwan would go there. And one day, Bhagwan asked, Kunnamma, what are you doing outside? How are you making a living? And Kunnamma said, Swami, I am selling peanuts, Swami. And Bhagwan asked, are you able to get enough? Is it paying you enough to earn a livelihood? And Kunnamma says, Swami, sometimes I get enough, sometimes it is not. It is okay, I manage, Swami. And Bhagwan says, oh, Kunnamma, if I give you a job in Puttaparthi, tell me what work you would want to do. Any work that you like to do. And Konama said, Swami, I don't have any skills, Swami. I don't know what I can do. Maybe, Swami, I can wash dishes, Swami. All the dishes that you eat from, I can do the dishwashing, Swami, if you are okay. I don't have any other skill, Swami. I can wash the plate and all those dishes in which the containers in which people bring food for you. And she said, Swami, I can do one more thing. Swami, I am physically strong, Swami. I can carry heavy stuff. So, I can bring water for your bath from River Chitravati, Swami. She says. And the situation in that time was such, there was no water in Puttaparthi. There were no taps. In fact, the few rooms that were constructed in Puttaparthi in those days, they did not have any washrooms. People used to go to River Chitravati for their morning ablutions and whatever water requirement was there. Either the water was drawn from the well and the well water was not very clean. People believed that the flowing water in Chitravati was much better. So everybody used to use the water of Chitravati for their daily needs. And this is what this old lady told Swami. Swami, I will wash the dishes from which you eat food. I will bring water for you, Swami, for your bath every day. And that is how Konama started this seva. Every morning she would walk up to Chitravati, the 2 miles, and she would bring buckets, pots of water, and she would fill up the whole big container, and she would heat this water. Again, in those days, there were no proper heating facilities. Everything, all the cooking was done with firewood. So she would collect the logs of wood and she would make that firewood stove and she would heat up that water for Bhagwan and she would deliver this hot water for Bhagwan's shower every morning. She would start her work 3 in the morning because Bhagwan would always be up very early. We know Bhagwan hardly used to rest. Bhagwan would be the first person to be ready in the ashram. And in that pitch darkness, no light, absolutely dark. Early in the morning, 2:33, she would go to River Chitravati and she would make that trip back and forth, back and forth. She would bring pots of water, she would fill the big container and she would boil that water for Bhagwan's bath. And of course, later, after Bhagwan had his food, we all know Bhagwan hardly ate anything, but there would be so many dishes that people would send. There would be food that would be brought from Geeta Mohan Ram's family. We know about Dr. Padmanabhan and the son of Mr. Seshagiri Rao, the first pujari of Prashanti Nilayam. So many devotees like that would bring food for Bhagwan. Of course, food would also come from Bhagwan's home. Parvatamma and Venkamagaru, they would bring food. So she would wait to wash these dishes after Bhagwan finished his food. And she continued this work happily month after month, year after year. And Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram narrates how one particular weekend, she had gone to Puttaparthi along with her father, mother and brother. In fact, Dr. Padmanabhan from Bangalore used to come to Prashantinilayam as often as it was possible, at least once a month or once in 15 days. Whenever Dr. Padmanabhan could get time away from work, they would make that trip to Puttaparthi, and even though it was very difficult in those days, no roads, they would cross the river, the sand and bullock cart and everything, but they would come to see Bhagwan. So on one Saturday evening, they reached Puttaparthi, and suddenly that evening, Swami said, "Tomorrow, there is some work." So on Sunday morning, Swami called Dr. Padmanabhan after the morning bhajan. And Swami said, "See, Konamma is very sick. You have to take her. We have to take her to Bangalore." Puttaparthi did not have any hospital. Then the Srisathya Sai General Hospital that we see today, which has undergone so much of transformation and expansion, the first general hospital was much closer to the ashram, and even the groundbreaking ceremony of that hospital happened in 1954. So before 1954, there were no medical facilities in Prashantinilayam, in Puttaparthi. And Swami said, "See, there is no hospital here. Konamma needs to be treated immediately. She needs to be taken to Bangalore. So can you do one thing?" Swami tells Dr. Padmanabhan, "Can you ask your wife and your son to go back to Bangalore in a bus? And can you take Konamma to the hospital in Bangalore? Because she needs immediate medical attention. She needs to be taken right away." And Dr. Padmanabhan said, "Sure, Swami. All right, we will do this, Swami." And Dr. Padmanabhan was finding out about where Konamma was living. She lived in a little hut. So Dr. Padmanabhan and Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram, who was then just a little girl, so both of them, they took the car and they were trying to go to the place where Konamma's hut was. And even as they were making these inquiries and preparations to go to pick up Konamma, Swami came down from his room and Swami said, no, I don't think Konamma will survive if you take her. I think I have to come. I will come with you," Swami says. And that's it. In that instant, Swami decides that he will also come along with Konamma. And so, now in the car was Konamma and the little Geeta Mohan Ram. Dr. Padmanabhan was driving and Bhagwan was seated next to Dr. Padmanabhan in the front seat. And Konamma, who was lying down, she was very sick. She actually had a burst appendix and she was in pain. She was in so much pain. It was really only Swami's grace that she was still alive, because her condition was so critical. She was unable to lie down, unable to sit, and Bhagwan was constantly concerned about Konamma. And in those days, the journey was so difficult, it was horrendous to go from Puttaparthi to Bangalore, because You had to cross through rivers, rivulets, streams. There are so many tributaries of Chitravati, and the car had to go through, drive through all this. There was no road, absolutely, literally there was no road, 26 miles. It was only mud and slush and wading through rivers. And many times, the river would drive into these tributaries, some little stream, and the car would get stuck. And now the poor lady in the back seat, she would groan in pain, and she didn't want to make much noise because Swami is sitting in the front. But she would somehow try to control herself, but she was visibly in so much pain. And when the car was going up and down on the rocks, on the boulders, Swami would just turn and Swami would say, "Konama, Konama, we are almost there, we are almost there." When the journey started, Swami said, "See, Konama, it will take us 6 to 8 hours. Don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. We will be there in Bangalore very soon. We will be there in very soon." But what to do? The car would just get stuck. And Dr. Padmanabhan would keep crying out to Swami, "Swami, Swami," whenever the car would get stuck, he will shout, "Swami, Swami." And Swami will, "What happened, Padmanabhan, again?" "No, Swami, the car is stuck, Swami. There is so much mud, Swami. We're unable to go, Swami. What to do, Swami? Shall I call the villagers, Swami? We can't go, Swami." And there were villagers, you know, who were not sympathetic to someone going through this ordeal, because many people were very hostile to Swami. They were very jealous. They couldn't see that so many people from different cities are coming to see Swami. There was always a very uncomfortable, unwelcome situations for everyone who came to Puttaparthi in those days. So even if the car was getting stuck, there's no one coming to help. They were only watching the fun. And Swami was telling Dr. Padmanabhan, "Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry." And so they would come out of the car, and you know, Bhagavan would come out of the car, and Swami would push the car from behind, and the car would just roll over to the other side. And then Bhagavan would lift his robe, and very daintily, very delicately, he would get back into the car. And again, after a few miles, the car would get stuck again. And Swami would open the door, again would come out of the car. He would himself push the car, and that is how the journey continued. I mean, look at the compassion. Look at the extent to which the Lord can go for someone, for a no one. We think someone is no one, but there is no one who is no one for the Lord. Everyone is the most important one for the Lord. Like for every mother, all the children are equally important. And Swami would keep on asking Konama, "Konama, is it hurting a lot? Don't worry. We'll be there, we'll be there." And Swami would materialize Vibhuti, put it on her forehead, and Swami would say, "Don't worry." So this is how this 26 to 28 miles took 3.5 hours with Swami pushing the car. With a lot of difficulty, they reached Penukonda, and from there, you have little better roads. By the time they reached Puttaparthi, it was 7 in the night. They started after morning bhajans. It is 8 hours of grueling journey. And by the time they reached Bangalore, Dr. Padmanabhan took Bhagavan and Konama straight to a nursing home. He knew that particular doctor, even though that doctor was not a devotee, but he had come to see Bhagavan once or twice. He had respect for Swami. So Dr. Padmanabhan took Bhagavan and Konama to that hospital. And so they go and they knock on the door of that doctor at 7:30 in the night. And the doctor opens, and both Dr. Padmanabhan and Swami, they are standing in front of his house, and Swami says, "See, there is a patient in the car. She is very sick. Can you do the surgery?" And this doctor says, "Well, I can do, but you know, I have to call the anesthetist because how will I operate without anesthetic help? And now I don't know how to reach. I mean, we are talking about 50s. So no telephones, no mobile phones. It is so difficult to communicate instantly with anyone. And Bhagwan says, no, he has to be operated. And the doctor examines and takes the lady to the operation theater. He tries in various ways to communicate to the anesthetist, but he is unable to do. Who is going to come suddenly on a Sunday evening to operate? And he goes to Swami again and he says, "Swami, there is no anesthesiologist. The lady is not going to survive, Swami." The doctor says that, "You know, I can see she has a burst appendix and I don't think she will survive. I don't think I can operate, Swami." And Bhagwan says, "She had this burst appendix last night itself. Don't worry, you operate. She will survive." And then Bhagwan says, "I am the anesthetist. Okay, I am the anesthetist." And Bhagwan walks into the operation theater. Swami materializes Vibhuti and puts it on the forehead of Kunnama. And then Swami mixes that Vibhuti with water. Swami gives Kunnama to drink that water. And then Swami tells the doctor, "You go and start the surgery. She will be unconscious as long as you are doing the surgery. This Vibhuti water is her anesthesia. She's perfect now for your operation." And this doctor is so shocked. He had never seen anyone going into anesthesia state in this manner. His hands are shaking now. And Swami says, "Don't worry, you go and do the surgery." And Bhagwan is sitting outside the operation theater on a hard wooden bench. Dr. Padmanabhan and Gita Mohan Ram, they're all waiting outside. On one side was Dr. Padmanabhan, on the other side, Dr. Gita Mohan Ram, and Swami is sitting there while the surgery is going on, just waiting for the doctor to finish his job. Swami is waiting, and Dr. Padmanabhan feels the surgery is taking so much time, so he goes to Bhagwan and says, "Swami, the doctor is anyway doing the surgery. Why don't you come, Swami? Why don't you rest for some time? Why don't we go home? It's been such a tiring day. I will come and take care of Kunnama after the operation is over. Why don't you rest? I will take you home, Swami." And Swami says, No. I want to be here when Kunnama comes back to consciousness. She will want to see me. She will be searching for me. I cannot leave now. I have to be there for Kunnama." So the surgery goes on for 2 hours or more, and Bhagwan is patiently sitting there. And after the surgery is over, Bhagwan goes in and Kunnama now is wide awake. And the first thing that Kunnama says, and this is so sweet, Kunnama says, "Swami, I have given you so much trouble, Swami. I have given you so much trouble." She goes on saying, "Swami, I have really put you into so much inconvenience, Swami." And Swami says, "Hey, Nothing. This is nothing compared to the water you bring me every day for so many years. Not a single day did I have to wait for my water, for my shower. Not a single day have you missed washing the dishes. What I am doing is such a little thing. Don't talk like that. I cannot help but recall that beautiful bhajan we all sing, where we hail Bhagwan as the Dina Bandhava. He is the one who is there for the downtrodden. He is the one who is there for the simple hearted. He is the one who is there for those who have no refuge. And he is there with them all through the way.
Dina Bandhava Baba Daya Sagara. Dina Bandhava Baba Daya Sagara. पतित पावना साई करुणा करा पतित पावना साई करुणा करा दीन बांधवा बाबा दया सागरा शांति धर्म सिंधु साई सत्य साई प्रेम साई शांति धर्म सिंधु साई जीवन आधार साई जननी जनक बंधु साई जीवन आधार साई जननी जनक बंधु साई पतित पावना साई करुणा करा पतित पावना साई करुणा करा पतित पावना साई करुणा करा दीन बांधवा बाबा दया सागरा सत्य साई प्रेम साई शांति धर्म सिंधु साई जीवन आधार जननी जनक बंधु साई पतित पावना साई करुणा करा पतित पावना साई करुणा करा
Bandhava Daya Sagara. And Bhagwan in this bhajan is so beautifully hailed as Janani Janaka Bandhu Sai. You are the one who is the father, who is the mother, who is the friend, who is everything. And If you look at Kunnamasturi, it has not yet ended, because there are so many more beautiful things that happen after this also. That is the beautiful Swami. In fact, in the early years, Gita Mohan Ram says that when Bhagwan used to take anything from the devotees, if there's any opportunity to serve Bhagwan, then they used to tell Swami, "Swami, don't give us anything. It's like you don't return. We want you to be in debt with us." Because they always wanted that they should be with Swami. And they would say, "Swami, don't return, Swami, don't return. Don't give this ring, don't give this chain, don't give this necklace, Swami. Because then the deal is over. Don't pay, Swami, don't pay back, don't pay me for my love, Swami. You should always be in debt, Swami." This is how the devotees used to pray to Bhagwan, because Swami was someone who always, if you do little, he will give you back so much. Because Bhagwan was always like that. I think there are so many occasions where you give little to Swami and you will see that he will do so much for you. And here was Kunama, who every day was serving Bhagwan by preparing hot water, was washing the dishes. So imagine to what extent the Lord will go for such a devotee. And Swami is telling Kunama again and again, no, you have done so much. And Kunama is telling, no Swami, you don't put yourself into trouble, Swami. 10 o'clock at night, after the operation is over, Swami waits, and then Swami talks to Kunama. Swami makes her comfortable, and then Swami also feels very much for Padmanabhan's wife and Gita Mohan Ram's brother, who had to come to Vrindavan from Puttaparthi in a bus, and that means you have to go through the bullock cart journey, and you have to change the bus, and you have to come to the train. So all that ordeal journey, even though they had reached Puttaparthi by car, Swami was feeling so much for the family of Dr. Padmanabhan. And then at 10:30 in the night, Swami reaches Vrindavan, and Mr. Rama Brahmam, who was a caretaker of Vrindavan, was informed, and Swami reaches Vrindavan with no food. He had not had breakfast, he had not had lunch, he had not had dinner. His whole attention was how to get Kunama operated. And Dr. Padmanabhan takes Kunama to his home, and Swami next morning again comes to Dr. Padmanabhan's house to see Kunama. Swami ensures that she recovers completely, and Dr. Padmanabhan ensures that Kunama is back to Puttaparthi, healthy and safe. This is one of the beautiful things that happened in the 1950s, early 50s. In fact, the story of Kunama does not end there also. In fact, on 60th birthday, Bhagwan, out of the blue, remembers Kunama, and Swami calls her and felicitates her. Anything you do for Bhagwan, it never ever goes waste. It never ever misses the Lord's attention. Anything that we have done for Bhagwan, in fact, I remember in Kodaikanal, Bhagwan would always ask the students to go and buy the shawls and the various items being sold by the people from the northeast. Swami would say those Nepali hawkers would be there. You go and buy and don't bargain with them. Whatever price they say, pay that and buy from them happily. Many, many years ago when Bhagwan himself had gone to North India, Swami wanted to buy a particular shawl, and when Bhagwan bought and Bhagwan was paying them, those Nepali hawkers said, "No, Swami, we don't want from you, Swami, please. Swami, this is our gift, Swami." So for that one occasion when Bhagwan did not pay and Bhagwan accepted, Swami remembers that, and every year when students went to Kodaikanal with Bhagwan, Swami would always say that never ever bargain with these hawkers. Never ever ask them for a lower price. Give them whatever they want. Swami would feel so much for them. Swami would say, this is the time they make their whatever livelihood, because people, the tourists, come only in these 2-3 months to the hill station. So there are any number of such instances where you will find, if you have done a little for Bhagwan, Bhagwan would always fill you with so much, because there is nothing that actually you can ever do for Bhagwan. Going back to the 1950s, once again, there is the story of two sisters, Lalita and Rani Subramanyam. They came to Prashanthi Nilayam for the first time in 1949. They arrived in Puttaparthi at night from Delhi after traveling the last 4 miles by bullock cart, as it was in those years for everyone. The Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir was being completed. Work was going on even late at night. It was the year before the inauguration, and Swami was in the hall supervising the work. No electricity, they used to use Petromax lights, and these two sisters, they were waiting in the veranda to get a glimpse of Bhagwan, and Swami came out after a while, and for them, as Miss Lalita says, that for the first time when she saw Bhagwan, she just felt that she was seeing an old friend. She felt that she has known him for long. Bhagwan was so gracious, so thoughtful. Even though Bhagwan did not talk to them that night, but that was kind of the inner connect, inner feeling. And in those days, no accommodation facilities at all, so they stayed under a tree, and Bhagwan was still staying in the old mandir, 1949. In fact, close to the tree, there was an ant hill, and perhaps snakes lived there. They did see so many snakes, but they didn't bother. They just slept on the ground. And Swami also was staying in a small room in the old mandir next to the well. And life was absolutely rudimentary, I mean, as simple as it can be. And Swami would move around in that little dwelling like a member of the family. He would sit through bhajans, and sometimes Swami would himself lead the bhajans, and everything was open. Swami was accessible all the time. And Bhagwan would just come and sit on the steel trunks of people, you know, people have come with their luggage, so he would sit on their luggage and Swami would talk to them, and people would make their little stoves with stone and firewood, and Swami would ask them, okay, so what are you cooking today? So that is how informal those sessions were. And a few days after they came, and both the sisters, in whichever way they could help, they started helping in the making of the shrine, in the old mandir, and the general cleaning of the old mandir. And somehow all this inconvenience did not bother them. They just felt so much at home. And one day in the course of the conversation, Swami told Miss Lalita, "I'm going to call you Lily," Swami said. "I'm going to call you Lily, after the white lilies, the flowers, the white lily flowers that they offer in church at Easter," Swami said. And very interestingly, Miss Lalita loved the stories from the Bible, from the life of Christ. He was very familiar with Christian literature, very fond of Christian spiritual theology and the stories from Bible. And later Swami gave an interview to both the sisters, and then Swami told Miss Lalita that your life is not going to be like that of an average, normal Hindu girl. Swami said, "What are you wearing around your neck?" And she was wearing a string with some keys. Swami said, remove it. And Swami manifested a locket, and Swami said, "From today, you wear this." And then Swami made this beautiful declaration for her, the assurance for her. Swami said, "You wear this locket. From now on, I am your father, I am your mother, I am your sister, I am your brother, I am your friend, I am all in one for you." Jivan Aadhar Sai, Janani Janak Bandhu Sai. That's what we sing in that line. You are the very basis of my life. You are Janani, you are the mother. Janaka, you are the father. Janani Janak Bandhu, you are my friend. And here Bhagwan so beautifully says, I am your everything. And then Swami says, I want you to do your master's degree. She had done her bachelor's in arts, but Swami said, no, I want you to continue your studies and you do your master's degree. And Miss Lalita tried to explain and say, Swami, I won't be permitted to appear for the MA exam, master's in arts exam, because there's only a few months left now for the examinations to start, probably 4 months. And she had never joined the course. She has did not enroll herself for the master's degree after her BA, and so it was not possible for her to now appear for the master's degree exam. Swami said, no, I want you to appear for the exam now. 1950, Swami said, you appear for the exam. And not only that, Swami gave her a black Parker pen, and Swami blessed her. Swami said, you write the exam. This year you write the exam. And Miss Lily was thinking, how was it possible? Because at such short notice, with no preparation, I mean, there was no way she was going to prepare and write the exam. And no college will allow her also. If she were to appear for the exam as a private candidate, she has to get special permission from the head of the department, from the political science department of her college. So she didn't know how she was going to do this. She left the ashram for Nagpur, where they were staying with her sister. And she went to the college, because anyway Swami has told you do this. So she said, I will try. She went to the professor and she said, you know, I want to write the master's final exam for master's in arts. And the professor, as expected, flatly refused her request. He said, it's not possible. I mean, you have not even enrolled for the course. You have not gone through those 2 years. How do you think you can write the test? Just forget about it. It's not going to happen. There are students who have been preparing for this for 2 years. Hardly 4 months have left now. How do you think you can do this? It's not possible. So Miss Lalita gave up the idea, and she was thinking what to do. This is what Bhagwan said, but no college is going to give you the chance to write the exam. And interestingly, a few days later, she learned that the Department of Political Science now had a new head. A new person has taken over as the head of the department. So she thought, okay, let me go and try. So this new professor, Professor Sen, when he heard the request of Miss Lalita, she said, okay, fine. He was willing to grant her permission. Even though he was very skeptical about the preparedness of Miss Lalita to write the examination, but he was kind enough to give her permission to write the test. And not only that, this Professor Sen also suggested a good tutor who could help her if she was really serious for the next 4 months, if she really was willing to put in that hard work, then there is a good teacher who could guide her. Every day she needs to study for a few hours and cover the portion, vast portion, which was meant for 2 years. And Miss Lalita took it up as a challenge Bhagwan had told. So she went to that tutor. Every day she had to travel by rickshaw, long distance, because this teacher lived on the other end of the town. So every day she worked nearly for 10 hours every day, preparing, going to the tutor, learning the lessons, revising the lessons, and preparing seriously for this. And as Bhagwan had told, she wrote the examination. And when the results were out, she was awarded second rank in the university. Second rank in the university. And she knew who was the one who made it happen. You have to do your hard work, but then grace will flow and His will materialize. We hardly know about very, very few people who had this opportunity to talk to Bhagwan, to be guided by Bhagwan, to see Bhagwan in the 1950s. And she was one such. In fact, her sister, Ranima, who later used to be called as Ranima, she was Rani Subramanyam. We have had many opportunities of interaction with her in the early years of Radio Sai. And in fact, there is one occasion where she narrates the story of she testing the omnipresence of Bhagwan. And that story is something which was such an eye-opening experience for both the sisters. That happened again in the 1950s. Because these two sisters were very, very spiritually inclined, Bhagwan would often visit them and Bhagwan would guide them about their spiritual progress. Swami would constantly talk to them about spiritual matters. So this was one instance again in the 1950s where one day Bhagwan starts talking to these two sisters, and Swami says, you are not convinced that I am God, right? You have doubts about my divinity, isn't it? And both the sisters, they kept quiet. I mean, they did have some doubts in their mind, but how could they tell Swami? Even though they had love for Bhagwan, but to accept him as really the supreme divine being was sometimes difficult. So Swami sensed their restless thoughts and Swami said, it's okay, it's natural, it's nothing unnatural. How can you believe if someone simply suddenly comes and says that I am God? There's nothing wrong. It is normal, Swami said. To have doubts is common, don't worry. So now the sisters were a little relieved. They thought, okay, Swami has forgiven them for their apprehensions. But then Swami said, see, but there is one thing. You have to ensure that you remove your doubts. You cannot live always with doubt, isn't it? So, you try this. See, if I am God, then I should be omnipresent, right? I must be there everywhere, know everything. Nobody else can be omnipresent. Only God can be omnipresent. So Swami said, see, you test my omnipresence. There is no other way for you to remove your doubts. You have to do this. You test my omnipresence, but remove your doubts. And as Bhagwan was saying this, the sisters thought, how can we test Swami's omnipresence in Puttaparthi? Because here, he is all the time here around us. He knows everything. How do we test this? Again, Swami read their minds and Swami said, okay, when you go back to your respective places, then you test my omnipresence. You have to do this, and you have to do this for your own sake, for the growth, for your own growth. And the sisters later recalled, you know, for us that itself proved what a great guru, what a great master Bhagwan is. He didn't say, see, I told you I am God. Why are you having doubts? Why can't you believe? But Swami is telling, it's okay, it is natural. Everybody has doubts, but you have to remove your doubts with your own efforts. And after a few days, the Rani Ma returned home. Her husband was a doctor. And if anyone fell sick in the family, there was always, you know, doctor friends to help out. So on one occasion, her husband was on a tour of the whole of Madhya Pradesh. And during this time, her son became ill. What started as a simple fever, in a couple of days it became critical. Temperature shot up to 103, 104 degrees. The doctor who examined the child initially suspected that maybe it was malaria. And later they changed the diagnosis. They said, no, it is influenza. On the fourth day, the doctor said, I don't know, I think it's dengue maybe, because he's not responding to any treatment. Fifth day, he said, I don't know, maybe it is typhoid. Okay, let's do the blood test tomorrow, and once it is confirmed, I will start the medications for typhoid. So the child was just probably 5 years old, but the fever was just not receding. The child was becoming delirious. His brain had become a muddle. He stopped recognizing people, and Rani Ma became clueless about what was happening, because it came to a point where the child was not even recognizing the mother. Even when Rani Ma went, I am your mother, he was just completely in a mad state of mind. Sometimes he would come running away from the bed. Sometimes he would babble some things. So Rani Ma was completely terrified. Husband was not there. She had nowhere to go. And he thought maybe this, her son has contracted some brain fever or something. And her life had absolutely, she felt, had come to an end, because she didn't know where to turn to. How much ever she tried to calm the son down, he simply suddenly wanted to run. He absolutely went mad. And Rani Ma did not know what to do, who can say where to go. Suddenly that thought came of Bhagavan. Swami had told, test my omnipresence. So she went to the prayer hall and she went and she prayed intensely. She told the maid to keep an eye on the sun, and she went to the shrine. It was 9 a.m. and she simply poured her heart out to Swami. Swami, you said that test my omnipresence. Today I am calling out to you for help. I desperately need you. I don't know if my child is going to survive. He is going crazy, Swami. You have to help him. You have to do something. If you really come and save my son today, I will know you are divine. I will remove all the doubts. But you must fulfill 3 conditions, Swami. First, when I go back now, my son should be fast asleep. He should not be running around saying all sorts of mad things. Second, when I check his temperature in the morning tomorrow, it should be normal. It should be exact 98.4 degrees. I won't accept even a 99, Swami. And third, his temperature usually goes up in the afternoon. So when I check him again later in the day, it should be the same. It should have the normal temperature in every sense. If all these three things happen, then I will believe that you have helped him, that you are omnipresent, you know everything. You are present everywhere. And she sat there for some more time praying, and she chanted a mantra. And when she returned to her son after a couple of minutes, to her utter joy, she saw that son was fast asleep. She asked the maid, when did he go to sleep? And he said, Amma, a few minutes after you went, he quietly fell asleep. And the next morning, son woke up as a normal child, no more babbling. The son recognized the mother, and she checked the temperature both morning and evening. It was 98.4. The most interesting thing is, during that time, Bhagwan was in Venkatagiri, and in those days, Bhagwan used to stay at the Maharaja's palace for 9 days during the festival of Ram Navami. On the day Rani Ma prayed, exactly at 9 a.m., Swami was with the Maharaja, with the king, and Swami instantly went into a trance. Swami just fell back, and the Maharaja's son thought that Bhagwan has lost consciousness. But after a while, when Bhagwan sort of came back to his senses, the Maharaja asked, Swami, what happened? Where did you go? And Swami said, one of my devotees was in great trouble. Swami mentioned the name, and Swami said, her husband has gone for a tour, and she was alone with her children. Her son was going mad because of high fever. She was extremely worried. She prayed to me, come and show me your omnipresence. So I went and saved the boy. The child is fine now. The Maharaja marveled at Bhagwan's compassion. But the Maharaja's son had doubts and said, Swami, I want to meet this lady, this devotee. Swami said, yes, don't worry. When you come, she comes here to see me every 6 months. And that is how the Maharaja's son's doubts got cleared when she later met Rani Ma. And Rani Ma's faith in Bhagwan became solid. Faith is to see the invisible, believe the incredible, and experience the impossible. With doubts, we will only drown in our ocean of misery. With faith, we will swim in the ocean of His glory. These are some glimpses from the 1950s. And there are so many more stories. We will continue this in the coming episodes of Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram, In Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Thank you so much for being with me through this lovely journey of reliving those beautiful leelas of Bhagwan of the 50s. I offer this little endeavor with gratitude at His lotus feet. If you have any queries, any comments, please feel free to write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393258258. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.